Welcome back to our Sunrise Project call this morning, where we had a little less sleep, but it's okay. We're all here and happy that you're here in this safe space and shame-free space, as Lexi likes to say, filled with love and compassion and our desire to heal ourselves and our families. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. I am really happy this morning to have back with us this incredible powerhouse young lady, Lexi Hopkins Cunningham. She is a woman I have known since she was a mere maybe toddler or, maybe 8 or 9 years old, but she is a graduate of Yale College and Yale School of Public Health, where she received her BA and MPH respectively. She is a suicidologist. Her research analyzes the history of suicide in Black communities, and she uses that lens to understand the current crisis of death by suicide among Black youth. In addition to her research, Lexi is an expert in health equity and wellness. And in 2020, after seeing how COVID-19 illuminated health disparities in Black communities, she founded Wellness in Color, a virtual wellness center that used community-based programs and social media to help Black communities live healthy lives. So this morning, we are so excited to have Lexi back with us because our conversation today is about radical acceptance and how we can really lean into radical acceptance versus trying to fix our children. And for those of you who were with us a couple of weeks ago, when Kyle came on and talked with a wonderful conversation, we talked about how as he was growing up, we were constantly trying to fix him. And so it was a nice conversation and reminder about what I always talk about this morning. And as I read the Serenity Prayer about acceptance, having serenity to accept our children. So I want to start by first saying, welcome back, Lexi. Thank you for being here this morning.
Thank you.
Appreciate you. I want to start with just a real simple question about how do you define radical acceptance? What does that mean exactly?
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so happy to be here with you guys again. So, radical acceptance is actually a therapeutic tool that is taught in dialectic behavioral therapy, also called DBT. You might be familiar with that. And so, radical acceptance is really about being able to sit with what is and knowing that you can't rail against it and that you can't deny what's going on or try to avoid reality because that won't change anything. Instead, it's accepting things for what they are. And that doesn't mean that you don't want to change it or you don't want to improve it or you don't want to see a change. But instead of trying to force instead of trying to force a square peg into a round hole, you accept it's a round hole and figure out what can fit instead. And so I think of radical acceptance as this opportunity of almost like a Zen mantra of like just being where your feet are.
Being where your feet are
Yes,
and
and being in the
accepting
moment.
whatever's okay. Go ahead. Please continue with that, being in the moment, because sometimes we're in these moments of crisis or of a difficult conversation. And how would you say to just, how do we practice that? Like, how do we tell ourselves not to respond or react in a way that could be negative?
I think the first part about radical acceptance of your child and the situation you're in is a radical acceptance of yourself. So oftentimes we think ultimately our children are a reflection of ourselves and our hopes and our wishes and our desires and all of those big things. So I'm sure a lot of you guys know you can't change your children. You can
That's
influence
right.
them, but you might not be able to change them. And so you
That's
have to
right.
start by having this radical acceptance of yourself and being able to say, I feel the way I feel. I'm frustrated. I'm angry. I'm scared, whatever it is. And maybe I can do something about that. I can't do anything about my child. I can't change my child. I can accept them for where they are and accept their reality and support them in their reality.
That's so good because we can only change ourselves. We've talked about that here frequently. We can only change ourselves. However, in the middle of that moment or those moments, it's really challenging to remember that and to remind ourselves that we really, while we're trying to fix sometimes, a problem, really we have to reframe how we're thinking about it. It's not necessarily a problem, it just is. And so how,
Exactly.
let's talk about being a fixer. Like, how can being a fixer in the lives of our young adult children actually backfire on us?
Well, think about yourself as a teen and think about all the things your parents told you no to and how you had this immediate urge to go do it anyway, right? Think like that was everybody at some point. You want to rage against the institution or the parents, or you want to find your independence and you want to figure out how to solve problems on your own. And some of those skills are vital, right? We want to have young adults who know how to problem solve, who know how to be independent. The beauty of being a parent and being a child with parental support is that you have guardrails. You have that ability to be independent, be yourself, problem solve, but you have those guardrails to kind of keep you in a certain lane. And you should see yourselves as those guardrails. You know, the effort to fix inevitably makes your children feel not accepted because you're
Can you
telling
say that
them,
again? You are not Lexi. You are not
oh,
Persephone. You
sorry.
said the effort to fix inevitably makes your child what? What was the word you said?
Your child feel not accepted. Because when you're trying to fix something, think about it. Fixing, it's wrong, it's broken, it needs to be repaired, right? So even that language has a heavy weight of it. And so when your child always feels like they're being fixed or there's something about them that has to be improved, think of a world, you know, where your Black children are already being told in a lot of different ways that they're not enough. They're the DEI acceptance student. They're the DEI hire, right? They're the Black girl in the class because they needed at least one, right? There's already all these ways the world is telling Black children that they're not enough or that they need to be fixed or they need to mold to some sort of standard. And if they're coming home to that with all of those pressures, creating mental health problems or issues or disparities or anything or any sort of distress, and then they come home and they're being told in a different way, while well-meaning, that they're not enough, that they need to be fixed, that their mood isn't appropriate, that their temperament isn't right, then that can be a problem, right? They're getting
So,
it from all the ways. They're not
from
getting a safe
everywhere,
space.
you're saying they're getting it from the environment, they're getting it every day at school or at work or just out on the street, on the metro or on the subway or what have you. And so when, and your field of study is so incredibly important, especially now, with the rates of suicide increasing, tremendously, especially for young people and young adults. And so where do you or how can a person practice that? Where's that fine line between radical acceptance and really seeing that there could be a problem or a crisis that really needs to be addressed? Maybe it's not fixed, but at least addressed. What is that fine line?
So I think there's a couple things to parse out. I think, you know, radical acceptance doesn't mean ignoring what's going on. That doesn't mean it at all. Let's take it back from a mental health crisis. Think of like if you have a toddler, a tantrum. You don't let your toddler just scream and kick in the store or go crazy, right? Radical acceptance might look like, I understand you are so frustrated right now and that, you know, you don't have what you want. I hear that. I'm with you eye to eye. I get it. But in this space right now, we have to use our calm voice so that we can get you where you need, right? Like that's how you would, like, if it was like a tantrum, right? That's an example of radical acceptance. So when you think about it with a crisis, like a mental health crisis or suicidality or anything like that, the way that looks is, I understand that you are really struggling right now. I accept that. Know that I can't make you feel any different. but I want to support you in where you are right now. So, and that looks a lot of ways. What resources do you need? And oftentimes, like most people, if somebody says to you, "Oh, let me know how I can help you." Well, oftentimes that's not that helpful because you don't want to
No.
ask too much. You don't really know what you need. So you want an example. So, I wouldn't suggest to say to your kids, "What do you need right now?" I would give them the option, but also say, "What do you need right now?" Some ideas I have look like, do you want to talk to a therapist? Do you feel like something's going on at school? Do you think that we are being too harsh with you? Give your kids some options. And so that's the way that you can take radical acceptance, but not ignore the issue. It's really
Right.
just being present with where it is. It's, I understand you're not going to be better overnight. I understand that this is how you feel, and this is maybe a lifelong journey, right? Like, this is something that we will be working through, parsing through together. You got a buddy in this. You got a partner. You got support. You don't have to do it alone. That's what radical acceptance looks
Important.
like. A set of radical acceptance. Get over it. Stop whining. Why are you moping about? Well, look at all this stuff you got. What do you have to be sad about, right? That's kind, that's not radical acceptance, because that's not meeting the person where they are. That's imposing what you think should be happening onto your child. And so radical acceptance doesn't
And that's what we
necessarily
do. I just want
mean,
you to pause that. That's so deep because that's what we tend to do. We tend to say, and there's an adult child that sort of hasn't fully launched yet, let's say, or they're still trying to, they're still, living at home and, sleeping all day, perhaps, or a host of things. And you want to say, I really need you to go get another job or get out there and, try. And so, but that's where the conundrum comes, because I think a lot of people on our calls on this in this space have adult children, and that's where the challenge is. Or it's like you want to say, I really, you want to give suggestions and guidance, and some of the callers here have said, I really need them to have their own space, get out in the world and do what we did at 22, and have five roommates and three jobs or whatever it might be. But that's not where a lot of our children are right now. So, can you continue to talk about that? Like in the space of an adult child, how does it work? Because I hear you saying, like, if you're upset with your child, it's hard to say, I really understand and I see you and I'm with you. And when you want to say, no, I need you to get off the couch and go get a job. So, how
So
does
I
that work?
Yeah. And so I'm probably the age of most people's adult children are around there. I'm
Exactly.
27.
Yes, you are.
So I would say a couple of things. I think, again, like going back to that radical acceptance of yourself and like that deep reflection of like, what does this bring up for me? So
Yes.
when you see your kid still at home, not working, doesn't kind of have the next step. I won't even say like the plan, because,
It's the next step is
The
good.
best of plan,
Yes.
well, plans always end up messed up. But if your kids is in that situation, I think the first step is to reflect for yourself. Like, why is this so frustrating for me? Is it frustrating for
Yes, that's
me
good.
because I feel like I failed? Like, why? Like, I feel like it's a testament to my parenting. Is it because I know what I was doing at that age and it didn't look like this? Is it because, it could be whatever the reasons are. I would think first, reflect on yourself. Why is it so frustrating to you? Why is it so
Yeah.
upsetting? Why is it so hard? And then with that, accept those feelings. Accept that, the reasons it's frustrating for you might not be your proudest moments, and that's okay. That's a-okay. There's always a converse to what you think. It could be a huge testament that your kid's not trying to run out the house. There's a
Yeah,
lot of
that's
kids that turn
interesting.
18 and never come back home. And so,
That's a great perspective. That's a great perspective.
it's likely a testament to the environment you create. Because I promise you, if you had the environment where your kid didn't want to be there, they wouldn't be there. So, take that too into your consideration of radically accepting yourself, the good and the bad, and finding a way to just let it be. And then when it comes to your kid, I think having a frank conversation. So, what is it that's going on? And part of this too, of radical acceptance of yourself and your child, is setting boundaries. right? Like,
Yes.
just because you're trying to use radical acceptance or, level set and be calm doesn't mean you can't have boundaries. It's you can say whatever you want in life. It's all about how you say
Yes.
it. I'm a
Yes.
strong believer of that. So think about what your boundaries are and why you have those boundaries. And I think, treating your kids, even though they might be living in your house acting like a teenager, treating them like the adult they are will have more success. And so radically accepting, like, you're 25, you live at home, you don't have your next step. That's the situation. Good, bad, ugly, indifferent. It is what it is. So, but the one thing that is true is that you're 25, you're an adult. I'm going to talk to you like an adult. I'm going to respect you like an adult. And I really want to understand what's going on for you.
Yes, that's great.
And then from there, you set your boundary. You say, I hear where you are and I understand that. And I'm not going to try and change you because your priorities are your priorities. For me, these are my boundaries. This is what I need to see for this living situation to work well,
Yeah.
to be a happy environment for me and you, where we can come and have these calm conversations, where we can come and see each other with joy and happiness, right? I think it's sometimes we think, I think of like, kids when they're mad at their parents and they like close the door and they're like pretending to curse and they're saying all the things they didn't say, right? I think that sometimes I see adult parents with adult children flip. And so
That's right.
now they're closing their door and they're like, I got this kid who won't do this. And then, but they'll never say it directly in a calm
That's
way to
right.
their child. And so I think, really having frank and open conversations, which I think is very difficult. And it's a dynamic shift between being parent and child, being a parent and adult child. And
Yes.
it's something I think that is especially difficult in Black communities where we are such a respect-driven kind of familial units and where we expect
Yes.
the respect as an elder in the home and, as the, I won't say adult anymore because if you have adult children, but like as the parent, you expect a level of respect and for kind of your authority to be accepted.
Listen to automatically. That's right.
Yes, exactly. But at the same time, when you have, I think it's a generational change. And I also think it's having these adult children. And I will say too, I think, the world has always been uneasy. Like there's always been strife in history. If you look back 50, 60 years, generations are dealing with their own things too, right? But I think the level of noise that my generation gets around like how difficult it is to be now is heightened. So there's so much more social media and news about just like how hard it is to, get a job, buy a house, all of those things can be really discouraging.
Yes.
And so
It is.
with that noise, I think recognizing that the reality is it that much harder than it was 20, 30 years ago? Maybe not, but it probably feels harder.
Because of social and because of you can it's everything's at your fingertips. Whereas we had
Yes.
the, the World Book encyclopedias that we paid for 2 years or what have you.
Exactly. Exactly. So I think with that, being able to radically accept the perspective of your adult child and say, okay, this is what it is. This is your viewpoint. This is your perception. I can't necessarily change your viewpoint, right? But we have to figure out how to work together to get to a place of mutual understanding, mutual success, and define that on
Yes.
terms for ourselves. And sometimes I think, you have to almost like depersonalize it. And depending on your kids, you might need to like preempt them and say, I think we should have almost like a business conversation.
That's a great idea, a business
Phrase it as,
conversation.
Yeah, phrase it as a business conversation. Phrase it as I want to have a business meeting with you where we talk through your personal, professional development.
That's a
I have those
great way
conversations with
to.
my boss, right? And
Yes.
she gives me very great
Yes.
insight, information, resources, ask what she can do for me, what my plan is. And I don't think anything of it because that's my boss, right? So I think as a parent, if you depersonalize it a little bit and make it a little bit more formal and give your kid the warning so they're not all of a sudden like, wow, mom's so cold today. Like, mom's giving me the cold shoulder talking about a business meeting. But you can say, like, I think for us to have a productive conversation, we need to frame this as a business conversation.
And I think they would be open to that in some cases. I think many people would. And the key that you keep saying is understanding and validation. I love how you keep you're saying that starts with I. You said you're talking about understanding and also being seen. You know, really being seen, which is what everybody wants. Every human wants that. So seeing and validating and understanding. Those are the key words, right? Within all of this, and having a calm conversation and this new piece, this new twist as a business, framing it as a business conversation, I think is really brilliant. It's so good.
And I'll also add to it, thinking about that radical acceptance piece. I think having a conversation with your adult children about like what does success look like to you in a year
Yes.
in your life? Because, and this is where the radical acceptance piece comes in, success might look very different to them than what you would have hoped for your child.
That's right. That's
And
right.
so I
Because
think
Gen
how
Zer is really to that point, Gen Zers, like of which you're one, really want joy and happiness and peace and less about the job, you know, that they'll be in for 20 years or even 2 years.
So I think having, maybe starting a conversation with, okay, what does success look like for you? Like, what is a successful, joyful life to you? And they might not have the answer. So, send a pre-meeting
That's right.
agenda, right? The
That's
same way you would
right.
do for a business. These are the things I want you to think about ahead of time. And then when we sit down, I want to have like an honest conversation about it. And then we'll figure out next steps. I think that's a big thing too with radical acceptance of like being able to say, okay, you know what? What I thought of success, maybe it's like buying a home, having kids, being the job I can retire from. Like if that was your goal, maybe that's not the goal of your child. And accepting is like radical acceptance is like, okay, that's okay.
That's
That's what
right.
success looks like to you. If success looks like to you living in a house with seven people who you're good friends with and you have a communal living and you're, I don't know, whatever that might look like, if that's what success looks like, how do we figure out how to get you there? How do we,
That's right.
backtrack the plan and reverse engineer it so we can set you up? Because I don't think right now what you're telling me is success, it doesn't look like how you're living right now, which might not be making you the happiest.
Love that. I wish she could package you up and have you in our ear. Like have you in the AirPod, press the button, and Lexi's gonna tell us what we should be saying right now to our 25-year-olds as we're frustrated. I love that. And you have this just the perfect language. And what's so beautiful is you're in the demo, like you're in the demographic that we're talking about. So you understand, and this is your field of study. And so you see where many of us may have gone wrong in the past or may have not had this level. Speaking for
Completely.
myself, definitely did not have radical acceptance at all. There was a path, they were going to stay on that path, and that was it. And there was no conversation, as you talked about earlier. We were trained, you know, you respect your elders, you respect your parents. It's, you know, and when this generation is a little different in that, in
Oh,
some ways.
definitely.
I think that's amazing. I want to make sure that people have an opportunity to talk or share, or if something's on your heart, or you have a question for Lexi. Please feel free to pop it in the chat or come off of mute if you feel more comfortable, whatever works for you. Yes, I love what Michelle just said, a new generation of insight, radical acceptance. You are the next generation, the new generation, and you're giving us elders great information and tools of how to just let it be, it's to let go. And we talked a few weeks ago about not having expectations. Really not having any expectations, but the way you just said, let it be and have a business conversation, business meeting. Let's have a conversation. And I love that. It's just really beautiful. I'm going to try that with both of my sons. I think that would be fantastic in different ways, but still the same
Yeah,
conversation.
exactly. And I think too, what's great about that is like that's just a skill that like adults have to have. You will have business meetings, you will have, progress check-ins with everything that you do, whether you work for yourself, whether you are an artist, whether you are, a corporate boss girl, whatever it looks like, that's kind of a structure that will come back in life again and again and again.
That's right. And it's all relationships, right? It's whatever relationships we have. I love that. Dr. Vicky says, because I was like, what are you doing? That's crazy. Reprogramming parenting. Reprogramming parenting. That's great. That's really what this is about. It's like resetting.
And this is Andre. I just wanted to say something. So
Yes,
thank you,
good
Lexi, because
morning.
one of the things that you said, I was like, ouch, I just said that last week. So I have 13-year-old boy-girl twins. And so last week, my daughter was like super emotional and like she came home, she was just different. And so I said, girl, what do you have to be stressed about? Like, you, like, really? Seriously? Like, look at all that you have. And she said to me, you have no idea. And I stopped and I heard her. And so we were able to have a conversation, but she stopped me in my tracks after I heard. She was like, you have no idea. And I was like, you know what? I don't. Let's what? What's going on? And that led to a conversation, but it was me coming from a place of, you have no idea what it's like to be an adult. Like, you are 13, you are living the life. But from her perspective, it's like, it's so different. Like, she told me one of her friends asked her, was she bi or was she homo? Like, and I'm thinking at 13, no one ever even, that wasn't even a question amongst my friend group, right? So it's like the pressures that they have as middle schoolers are is so different than what I ever had to encounter. So there are pressures that are real, and I can't negate that just because, she's 13.
That's such a great point. And I think it's a testament to your daughter's strength and kind of like self knowledge that she could push back on you, which is, that's a testament to your parenting too. It's interesting because kids nowadays, while they are still kids, they have access to adult worlds. So if you think about it, kids have all of, I won't say knowledge because knowledge implies a level of understanding, but they have access to all the information adults have, maybe not the skills yet to interpret, filter, and apply that information, which makes it overwhelming for kids, young adults, everybody to make decisions and to, parse out the noise. I think of it almost like your ability of like a mental filter. Like, can you filter in certain information and throw it out, block out some? And kids don't actually really have that ability to filter like what's important, what's not important. And I'd say a lot of young adults don't either. And that's just a skill that happens over time as you like have a higher mental load you have to keep up with and figure out what's important to keep in your head and what's not. And so I think that's a big part of, when we think of kids saying, you have no idea, you don't understand, that's a big part of it too.
Well, I love what you said, a testament to her parenting, because thanks, Andrea. Even pausing and listening and saying, let's talk. That's awesome. I know when mine were 13, I wouldn't have said that. I didn't say that. I look back and said, I would have come back with some, or another response to say, Yeah, stop talking. It wouldn't have been a conversation. So I think that's fantastic that you were able to pause and listen. I just want to applaud that. There's a question that says, what if your adult child has unrealistic expectations for themselves?
That's a
That's a
great
great
question.
question. Yes, it's a great
It's a
question.
really good question. So I think it goes back to reverse engineering. So, Brenda, I don't know if you have a specific example in mind you want to give. I'm going to create a hypothetical. So let's say your child has finished college, they're at home, or actually, let's say they didn't finish college. They
Yes,
took
that's a good
time
one.
off. They maybe were on the road to college, maybe weren't, but they didn't finish, and they're at home trying to
I
figure it
can give
out.
this is Brenda. I can give a specific example.
Yeah, go ahead.
So my child is adult child is 26, and he wants to be like a successful entrepreneur, and he has a business, but it's not making money, and he's going into a lot of debt to make it work, and it's just unrealistic. It's like I can't get through to him. I can say, have those conversations, well, what do you really need? And how will you make money? And it's like, well, my business will grow, my business will grow. So just that kind of blind spot that he has.
Got you. Okay, that's a great example. So I would say in this scenario, there's a couple things. One, I think that reverse engineering is important of like, okay, what if the goal is to have a successful business, what does success mean? What's your revenue? And some of this language will come like from business knowledge, right? So if you yourself aren't necessarily a business person, the best thing you might need to do is put him in contact with somebody you know who has started a business. Because a lot of people, I think there's this idea that circulates on the internet right now that like entrepreneurship is the only way to success in today's day and age, and that it happens overnight. Like this immediate success narrative is very popular. I can speak to some of the things that I've listened to and have read. You know, people are three times more likely to have a successful entrepreneurial business if they have a job while starting their business because they're not going into debt as much. They're
That's right.
not required to like earn and have this idea of earning. It puts them in stress. So I think, you know, there's a couple things. I think when your child has unrealistic expectations in general, putting them in contact with pe the best thing you can do as a parent is putting them in contact with people who have done the thing they want to do. So, you know, if your kid's like, I want to be president, maybe you don't know Obama, but do you know people who work in local government who can lend an ear? Do you have a podcast that they can listen to? Do you have a book they can read? Right? I think trying to, oftentimes too, if you don't have, like Brenda, if you're not an entrepreneur, your son might say, well, you don't get it. You didn't do this. You don't know, which can be hurtful because you just have, you know, a level of common sense. You can see what's happening because you have a third party perspective. But also, it could just help to be putting people, your children, in contact with the people who they're aspiring to be, because those people can give them real on the ground insight. And if it's not that, then maybe it's a podcast. And I'll be honest, likelihood saying, I found this podcast, I want you to listen to it, won't work. A friend who's an entrepreneur who said, like, they really suggest you listen to this for success. Maybe it's a little bit of a fib, but things like that, rerouting the information can be really successful in helping your child hear you if they're not going to listen to you, if that. So I think putting your child in contact with the people they aspire to be is really helpful. I'm sure there are some really high entrepreneurs on here. I think I know some. And so putting them in contact with those people and using your networks is probably the strongest thing you could do in something like that. Another thing is that reverse engineering process. Like, okay, if your goal is to have a $10 million company, what are the steps that have to be taken to get there? What are you doing? So is it that I need a business plan and you don't have a business plan? Is it you need a marketing plan? Is it that you actually don't have marketing skills and you need to get marketing skills? Well, how do you get marketing skills? You get a marketing job. So I think maybe even reverse engineering the plan of like where your child wants to be and what their expectations of themselves are is maybe a good kind of tangible way that you can kind of show them the steps they might need to take, because it's not necessarily that No, never say never. He could have a $10 billion business. Who knows? I don't know.
Yes.
If you can show him the steps that need to be taken to get there, it can be a really strong way to help kind of reroute and focus his energy in the ways that will support him the most. Does that help answer, Brenda?
Yes, it does. Thank you. Kind of, it can't come from me. It needs to come from a real expert.
I think so.
Yes.
I think that's probably going to be, especially, I think, and I feel like I have a lot of entrepreneurs in my life, so I can say this. I think entrepreneurs have this kind of dogged personality where, like, no is not an answer. And so hearing it from you is just like kind of like another hater I gotta prove wrong, you know? And of course, you're not a hater. You're his mother. You love him. You want success and you want to see him thrive. But hearing from another perspective of what it takes and the steps he needs
That's
to be
right.
taking could give him the practical tools to achieve his and maybe unrealistic ends.
A fantastic answer. I believe that on every level.
Thank
And
you so much.
really great. Thank you. And thanks for the question. And I see Taj has her hand up. So, Taj, feel free to come off of mute.
Good
Good
morning,
morning.
ladies.
Good
Morning.
morning.
I just wanted to offer Miss Brenda, that's my world. So I just wanted to share. The one thing I just want us to be cautious of as parents too is be careful with telling them that's an unrealistic expectation. We have to choose our words carefully as well, because if they're hearing it from us, when they go out in the world, they keep hearing it, like they everywhere they go, that's what they hear. And secondly, there are resources in your county that will support your son as well, that are either no cost, low cost at your local SBAs. So they can go to a place where, they're getting, as Lexi said, they're getting it from the people that do it for a living. And then you get to be the supporter of asking, how did it go? What did you get? Versus, or go share with them what you've done, and they can help reverse and show you where your gaps are. And then he can apply accordingly. So I just wanted to share that to give you some help with him too.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Great. Thank you, Taj. Really, really great. Are there any other questions or thoughts people want to share this morning? Such a great conversation. And I love that someone said learning from someone our children's age is really great. It's fantastic. It's parenting with the new reprogramming parenting. I think that's what Dr. Vicky said. We're reprogramming ourselves.
And then I just wanted to share too, is to Lexi's point, it just happened to me. I went out the other night, Dee and I went out to this women's organization event, and even just me in the room, I met a young lady that owns a spa or aesthetic spa in the county, and my daughter is an esthetician. And the first thing I think, I'm always looking for people in her world, because like I'm that one. I'm saying, I can help, or I can do this. So I'm trying to pull back. But now God has put me in rooms where I can meet people to connect her with. So I had an opportunity to, share with the lady, and she said, "Oh yeah, sure, have her call me." And the next day they met up, and she enjoyed the conversation. So now they, she's having fun, and they're going to meet again next Thursday. So just utilize, just in the rooms that you're in, the person that he needs might be in that room. So.
Yes, that's great.
Love
Great, great, great. I do think having another person who's a professional in that space is critically important. So that's awesome, Tosh. Let's see, were you about to
that.
say
And
something?
I think, it honestly speaks that radical acceptance too, where that was a great point, Taj, of saying like you don't want to be the person who's telling them it's an unrealistic expectation. I think by connecting your children with the people in their vision who are, who they aspire to be, is this wonderful opportunity of saying, wow, okay, I hear what you want and expect out of the world and expect out of yourself. Okay, I
Yeah.
can't do that for you, but what I can do is help you create the rooms you need to be in to get there. Right? It's a way in which you can support and show you accept their belief. Like, it would be very different if you said, no, but you know what? Here's a kindergarten teacher who can tell you about a teaching program. Right? That would be a different type of vibe and not show that radical acceptance. So I also think that's a really powerful thing. And, you know, I'll say too, I think we keep talking about, you know, being where your feet are, accepting it yourself. I want to acknowledge that that's hard.
It
That
is
when
hard.
you know your kid could be doing so much, or you know that your kid's capable of incredible things and you see it and you feel they're not living up to it, it is really, really hard to be where your feet are. And it is really hard for you to like let that be. And so I want to acknowledge and put out there that I know that and I hear that. I think that we all experience that. And that kind of goes back to that first idea I said of like radical acceptance of yourself, accepting that it's hard, accepting that you have dreams, expectations, hopes, all of these things for your kids and for your life, and maybe even feel that it reflects you. Like, accept that, accept all of the mucky, gray, hard, beautiful emotions, because that's part of the experience. And when you can have that radical acceptance for yourself, it makes it so much easier to be able to give it to others. When you can exist in a space where you're non-judgmental of yourself, you can be non-judgmental of others. So it's really that kind of concept, you know, putting your mask on first before you put everybody else's on. Same thing. So if you can start with radically accepting yourself, just saying, like, I am so freaking frustrated. I'm sick of this. I'm frustrated that I'm even at this point. Accept it. Let that be your truth. Accept it instead of trying to push against the fact that you feel that way.
That's right. But without
That will make it
judgment,
easier.
without the
Exactly.
self-judgment, that's the hard part when there's a lot of self-judgment frequently, when we're like, oh, I wish I'd done that differently. But I think that's fantastic. It's accepting ourselves, accepting how we're feeling. And you just said all the words that many people have shared here in this space, you know, the frustration or the anger or whatever it may be. And wishing the person was just taking all of their incredible tools that they've learned, you know, and putting them forward. But the reality is, they are putting them forward in their own way. And we have to accept that and be okay with that. You keep saying, let it be, you know, let it be. And some of us say, let go and let God, you know, really letting go is the tough part.
Yes,
And
a
let,
hundred percent.
yeah.
And one activity I'll give you guys for kind of that self radical self is take yourself on a walk. So get out the house, go on a walk, voice record yourself. Your frustrations, your thoughts, whatever is going on in your life, voice record it and then give yourself 24, 48 hours and then listen to it back. And what you'll hear is almost a detached perspective and think like, well, if my friend was talking to themselves this, what would I say? And it allows you to be that friend to yourself, right? Because oftentimes we say the worst things about ourselves in the world. And we know if a friend said that to themselves, we'd be like, girl, no, how dare you? That's my friend you're talking about. Don't do that.
That's
But we don't do
right.
that to ourselves. And so the activity of recording it, having it in your own voice, and making it, you gotta listen to it. I know a lot of people don't like to listen to themselves recorded. Get over it. And listening to it and hearing what you're actually saying, and that negative self-talk or that lack of acceptance can really help you start to notice these patterns. And then when you notice these patterns, you can change it. So I would
I
suggest that.
love
And
that.
yeah.
That's a great exercise. And I was thinking you were going to go somewhere else, but that is wonderful. You record on a walk freely, you know, on your voice memo, for those of us that might be tech challenged, but you turn on your voice memo and you record how exactly how you're feeling, getting it all out, and then listen to it a couple of days later and talk back to yourself, like put yourself in that chair as your friend. And what I hear you saying, I believe, is really learning to become a better friend to ourselves. and learning to love ourselves and accept ourselves. That
Yes.
exercise is a great opportunity to do that, to begin that journey, I think. That's fantastic. Thank you.
Yes, it's exactly the same as journaling too. And I know for a lot of people, it's hard to sit down and write. There's something about being outside, walking, and moving your body, it makes it easier for the words to come out. So,
Yes.
but if that's not your vibe, journaling's a great thing too. Just read it back. Sometimes we don't go back to, and that's the difficulty.
That's the difficulty. There's another thing someone taught me about writing down the things we like about ourselves. You know, the simple things I like about myself. And another thing, and another thing. And really writing those things down, I think is also a powerful exercise because we never take time. We often don't take the time to pause and say, okay, this may have not gone the way I wanted, but I still like this or I like that. Or and it could be emotional things, it could be how we showed up at an event, it could be how we just had a listening ear for a friend, or it could be I like my smile, or I like my teeth, I like whatever it is. So I think all of that is great. And I love that Dr. Qualey says, yes, radical self-acceptance. Radical self-acceptance takes the radical acceptance to a whole nother space, but it starts with us, is your point.
Exactly.
It starts with us. That's awesome. I think we have time for one other question or comment. One says many of us have been raised by superhumans and we think that we should be superhumans too. Being non-judgment of ourselves can be so hard. Absolutely. Absolutely. And another person said, I did this while processing my father's death. It was so healing. That's great. The recording and the listening back, I'm assuming that means. This is great advice. I journal when I look back the next day. And when I look back the next day, I can see the healing I need to see through the situation. All awesome. Great comments. So, any other, I love that exercise. I love the conversation. Thought around, you've given us so many great tools. Let me just say that. So,
Yay.
you know, having business meetings, having a, you know, conversation that seems like a conversation with another adult, lessening the advice, trying, you know, not trying to fix, but really understand and validate. I remember you saying it's understanding and validating, and finding a way to let it be. Let it be.
Yes.
And the other big piece was putting our children in touch with somebody in their professional field, especially if it's something that, you know, I had one at one point, Hal said, I think I want to be an actor. And I said, okay, I want to connect you with so-and-so because they can tell you about acting. It's really, you know, it's a quite difficult profession. And if you're up for it, great. But and have a conversation first, like with the person that's been doing it for 40 years, you know. So I
Exactly.
think that was very helpful. Really great advice. Any other comments or questions before we get ready to wrap? We have this such an incredibly wise young person with us this morning. So good, Lexi. Always, every time
Thank
you're
you.
here, every single time you're here. Tell us about wellness and color.
Yeah, so Wellness in Color is a suicide prevention nonprofit. We look at creating shame-free spaces where women can connect and learn, and we can destigmatize suicide. So I moved to North Carolina, so we're kind of reestablishing in North Carolina now. When we first launched in South Carolina, we do community dinners where we'd have conversations about suicide over a family style dinner. We do wellness events, community conversations where we do things like this in person. And so if you're in North Carolina, let me know.
And
Yeah,
you're in
it's one of,
Winston-Salem, right?
yes, I'm in
Winston-Salem.
Winston-Salem, North Carolina. So it's a great opportunity and space for us to like really focus on suicide prevention. And with that though, you know, I'll say too, and I've been told Ms. Richardson about this. I recognize too that there's just a gap in wellness for women in general. So I've
Yes.
been working on a new project around creating intentional wellness rituals for
women in general. And so I can drop the link to that project too if people are interested.
Please, yes,
Yeah,
please.
I
We
can
love
do that.
supporting people that come here. You, all of our speakers come as volunteers, and so we love to support everyone that's in our community. So share,
Yeah.
please. It says
Drop both. It's
A-E
Athiva.
Ativa. Is that how you say it?
Athiva. Yeah,
Okay.
Athiva. So we're starting with, they're called wellness letters. It's a monthly snail mail club where you're getting an intentional pod to your mailbox where you kind of have this ritual, this wellness ritual that is scrolling and saving. You know, you can pass your desk as the month goes on, and we're going to start doing some coaching and group programs soon. So it'll be
That's
good. And
awesome.
for virtual events, so I'm thinking that for wellness and color, we'll start up doing some virtual conversations too, towards the summer. You know,
That's
trying to
awesome.
figure out what communities need and what it looks like and how to best serve the people around us.
Everybody needs it. We all need it. And so this is, I'm so proud of you and to see you as a little girl grow into this incredible woman doing such fantastic work makes me so happy.
Thank you.
And I'm just grateful that you always come and give your time so freely.
Always
I
happy to.
appreciate you so much. So it's wellness in color. It's just the letter N, wellnessincolor.org. And Athiva, if you're listening, it's AETHEV, like Victor A, dot com. Well, I am
Yes.
so grateful for you. Thank you for being here with us this morning. And tell your mom hello for me,
I
please.
will.
We've been trying to connect forever. One of these days we will. But thank you for being here. I really appreciate
Of
you.
course. Thank you for having me, and thank you all for being such a great audience and engaging. It's always wonderful to come talk to you guys.
Yes. We'll have you come back for Suicide Prevention Month. I think
Yes,
September, I believe.
please.
Would love to have you come back. Okay. Thank you so much. I'll turn it over to Dr. Vicky now to wrap us up in a prayer.
Thank you. Thank you, Kelly. Thank you, Lexi. Amazing. Just so inspiring. Thank you so much. And would love to connect you with Dr. Quayle. She's a previous guest here, but she's the anti-burnout coach. You know, I think there are some possible collaboration opportunities there, you know, with your new project. I love that you said the gaps in wellness just for women. So just really powerful. And then you deliver it with such sweetness. You slapped me a few times this morning and it was so sweet. I was like, God, thank you for the love tap. Oh, God, we just thank you. Thank you for Lexi. Thank you for Kelly and Dee. Thank you for this community. Thank you because you admonish us to get wisdom and in all of our getting, get understanding of the wisdom we receive. So thank you for Lexi being the vessel of wisdom today. Help us to practice the serenity prayer to activate these tools. And practice first radical self-acceptance so that we can more consistently practice radical acceptance of our children and just of life in general. We trust you with all of our heart. We don't lean to our own understanding. In all of our ways, we acknowledge you because you promised to direct our path. Now, bless us the rest of this day, the rest of this week, and bring us back together as a community on next Sunday. We give you glory for all of these things. In your name we pray. Amen. Thank you. Thank you, everyone. We will see
Amen.
you next week. And if you're so led, make a donation to the Sunrise Project. We are a
Aww.
nonprofit and would love to receive your financial gifts as well. So we just appreciate you all being here every week. Have a powerful day, everyone.
Thank you. Yes. Goodbye. Thanks, Dr. Vicky. Thanks, Lexi. Have a good week.